You know, God is really doing something special now in these days. And all I know is we all need to be along for the ride. Need to have a heart that's open, whatever God's doing. Just wanting to flow with Him, go where He wants to go, where He wants to eat, do what He wants to do. Amen. Well, put the confession up, would you? You know, it's just amazing to me because I'm just seeing God doing things. Oh, by the way, Lex, I've already had people talking to me about that they can't be here Sunday, and they're already ready to do homework, makeup, and want to know, are you going to have all that? Is everything going to be, you know, can we? Oh, we don't want to miss. We're going to be in here, but we can't go. We're going to do that. So I'm like, this is strange. I mean, I like to have to pinch myself and say, is this a dream or what? So, you know, God's just doing amazing things. But let's go over our confession tonight. Y'all ready? Yeah. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, one of a kind, uniquely designed for a purpose that only I can fulfill. I'm created in the image of my God, by my God, in my mother's womb. I'm so loved by my God that He sent His only Son to save me. I'm designed for victory, destined for greatness. My God is in control of my life. Therefore, nothing is impossible for me. Do you believe it? Man, can y'all say, I'm telling you, do you really believe that you're designed for victory? Amen? You're designed for victory. As long as you have breath in your lungs, you're designed for victory. Amen? You're destined for greatness. Each and every one of y'all are destined for greatness. Man, praise God. God's in control of your life. Man, He's got it all taken care of. Amen. So get your Bibles out and go to the book of Matthew 13. I'm just going to kind of start here. I have a homework assignment for you tonight before we even get started. And it's just something for you to start, you know, kind of just looking at and doing. I want you to, when you're reading your Bibles, which I know y'all do faithfully all the time, so I want you, as you're reading your Bibles, I want you to put your mind and think about the ministry of Jesus. Okay, look at the ministry of Jesus. Amen. What was He doing? How did He treat people? What was He saying? What was His purpose? What was his focus? Where was He going? Where'd He come from? You know, I want you to think about the ministry of Jesus. How did Jesus minister? What did He do? In everything you read, all right? Can you do that for me? And the Lord was taking me on a little journey. And if you know, if you realize the scriptures, I'm going to give you just a bunch of quotes tonight. And you just go look them up later. But, you know, Jesus said, I didn't come in the world to condemn the world. I came in the world to save the world. So the ministry of Jesus, the mission of Jesus was to save people. John 8:32, what was He going to save them with? He was going to tell them the truth. So the truth could set them free, right? So Jesus had a purpose and a mission in life just to tell people truth. Right? And Jesus is always so amazing because, I mean, he is the coolest. You know, in the way that He treats people, in the way that He does with people, you know, just and all the the inauguration going on. Imagine what would happen if President Trump would have stopped the car and got out and called this guy Zacchaeus out of a tree. You with me? I mean, that's what it was like. Jesus was they were going down the road, the people all around Him, everything like that. But yet He stops to. I mean, the guy's in a tree. Are you with me? You would think that's the squirrely dude. Stay away from him. Right? But Jesus always had that ability to see something. Here was Zacchaeus. He was a wealthy individual, a powerful individual. Had a high position in what he was doing in life. He was rich. He had money to give. And so Jesus could see something in him. That's what always amazes me about Jesus. He has this ability to see always the best and always be able to see the potential in people. And Jesus was like this with everybody except one group of people. The religious people. Oh, man. I mean, if you could cuss in old Aramaic, I mean, that's almost what he did. I mean, you whitewash bunch of sepulchers full of dead men's bones. I mean, that's pretty rough stuff. Right? We say, oh, well, you know, but I mean, he laid it on, he poured it on, he tongue-lashed them. Right? And isn't it interesting that Jesus in his whole ministry was going around loving people, blessing people, always giving and ministering to people. His friend Lazarus dies. He goes over there. There's all the scene that takes place, you know, with Martha and Mary and all the things that takes place. And he calls Lazarus forth. He comes out of the grave and he's resurrected. Jesus just get the, you know, the clothes, the grave clothes off of him. And immediately there was people in the audience or people in the group there, the crowd, that ran and told the Pharisees and said, man, we got to kill this guy. We might as well kill Lazarus too. That's just too many people know something about this. We got to kill him. So here's Jesus going about doing all this ministry of love and grace and teaching and truth and all these things he's doing, yet, man, right along him in all of his crowd, there was people that wanted to kill him. Right? I mean, isn't that crazy? I hope nobody in here tonight wants to kill me. That'd be terrible, right? But you're just thinking about it. He's preaching and they want to kill him. Why? Doesn't make any sense. It's just demonic. You're at me? You're with me? It's just demonic. It's just the devil working. Now, do you think anything's changed between now and then? Nothing's changed, church. And you wonder sometimes why when you are good and bless people and walk in the ministry of Jesus, there's people that get angry about it. It's not a bit different. Nothing's changed. What God's going to do in these days, the one thing I can assure you of, there's going to be people who don't like it. And we have to come to the realization right now that it's going to happen. It's going to take place. You're going to sit back and say, wow. And there's no sense saying, I just don't understand this. It's what you're going to want to say. Because it still boggles my mind when I read the scriptures. Right? But there's no really sense saying it because the truth of the matter is, it's the same as in the days of Jesus. Nothing's changed. Now, Matthew 13, I want to show you something here. I want to give you hope tonight. Matthew 13, 31. Another parable he put to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all these seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Years ago, the Lord used that scripture and gave me that scripture and told me that Living Waters Church was going to be like that. And if we would go back in the archives of the church, night when we had Christmas, you know, we were celebrating Christmas, and I was, in those days on Christmas we did those, and we all came together, we had Christmas fellowship and over the church, and then I always kind of cast a vision for the New Year's then, and somewhere there is a overhead projector of a tree. And I remember casting the vision for the church, saying, this is what God's called us to be. And the Lord's been bringing this back to my attention now after all these years. I mean, that was a long time ago. That was 20 years ago. And of him speaking to me, saying about that this church, what we were supposed to be, was this tree that's grown up. And, you know, a lot of times people magnify on the mustard seeds, a little, it's the smallest of the seeds, and it grows to a big tree. But that wasn't what he ever spoke to me. He says, look, you got to grow. You got to take something, you're going to be something small, but you're going to grow into something that the birds can rest on your branches. You know, that they can come and sit, and that there's rest for the weary and there's shade for the weary. And this is what I want you to become as a church. You with me? Now I see that. I see that this is what we're doing. I mean, you know, it's always funny to me because when the Lord always speaks to me, you know, I'm ready to go. And, you know, 20 years later, I see that we're closer to that tree than we've ever been before. Now, part of the ministry of Jesus is exactly what verse 31 and 32 say. That in life, we're supposed to be at the place to where we can be a help and a blessing to others. That's part of the goal. Part of the goal in life is to say that you're, it doesn't mean you got it all straight, but that you're able to help others. You know, it doesn't have to be monetary. It could, you know, be in love and teaching and what, you know, whatever. But that's our goal as Christians. Look what Jesus did. He came, he died on this earth, and he saved the whole world. Right? Made a way for the whole world to come in. That's a pretty big step, right? Look at the next verse down here, 33. He says, another parable he spoke, that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took, and she hid 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. Now, I don't pretend to stand before you tonight and tell you that I know anything about baking bread, because I've never tried in my life. But I grew up my whole life, and why it's stuck in my brain of the packages of yeast in a red and yellow package. Like from childhood, it's like stuck in my head. What do women just buy this stuff and put it in the icebox and you never do anything with it? Because, I mean, as a kid, I never saw anybody do anything with it, but it was always in the icebox. What is? Does anybody know what brand that is or what it? What is it? Fleshman's. So is Fleshman's a good yeast?
It was back in those days. Yeah. It's still around.
Okay, so I'm giving an advertisement tonight to Fleshman's yeast. But anyway, y'all know this, okay? It's new knowledge to me. Like I said, I'm not a baker. But look what he says. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And those little packages are not very big. Right? Am I right thinking it's about the size of a tea package? Yeah? Okay, so I'm on track here. And just think of this. Think of this miracle. Now, how long would it last if you put it, if it never touched it, never broke the seal on, how long would it last in your icebox? What is it? A year? Probably a couple of years? Okay, so you got this substance, all right? It's just a substance. It's just a little substance, a little flaky substance sitting in your icebox, and it's just there in this little package, a couple of years, minding its own business, not doing anything, right? You don't walk into the icebox one day, and it's all blown up. It started doing its own deal, right? You don't, you know, it's just there. And then you take it out and you mix it with the dough, a little leaven. Jesus said leaven's the whole lump. And then it activates and it does that. And then it, right? Now, all you that are bakers, what is the one thing when it's been activated, all right, what is the one thing that can stop it from working? Cold. Salt? Am I hearing salt? If you threw salt on it, it'd kill it. But I'm going with cold because it preaches. Preach is a lot better than salt. I'll have to work on another message with salt. Tonight, it's cold. So this little leaven you put in the bread, this little bit of ministry you put in somebody, this little bit of word you sowed into someone's life, what kills it is the cold, the stopping, the quenching of the moving of the Spirit. Okay? Now, I'm seeing, because like I said, I'll be honest with you, church. I'm sitting in the grandstands watching. That's what I'm doing right now. Because God has not told me, Robert, you go do this or you go do that. I'm sitting in the grandstands watching. I like standing outside. You cannot see the air, but I can see the movement of the trees. And I'm trying to watch what God's doing. So that we can say, look, he's over here. Look, the leaven's rising over here. We need to get over and protect it. My daughter came to me and she said, I've got something I want to do. Now, this is so far outside my realm of thinking. I said, what do you want to do? She said, well, in California, there's just homeless people everywhere. Everywhere we go, there's homeless people. There are homeless people on the streets. There's homeless people everywhere. There's homeless people everywhere. Well, you know, come on. We all may know someone who's in need, but we don't have homeless in Utopia. They're not on the streets because we don't live in a small rural town, right? Not in the city. She said, they're everywhere. She says, I've just been praying about it, and this is what I want to do. I want to make a package, put a granola bar in there and some other stuff in there, but I want to put a track in there, and I want to have them in my car, and then I just want to go give them out. So you run across a homeless person, I was going to say, here, God bless you, give them a deal, go to the next one. So I said, well, sweetie, you know, you're pretty bold and everything, so please be careful. I mean, don't go, like, down some alley where there's a bunch of homeless people or something. I mean, let's play smart here. I mean, I trust you're following the Spirit of God, but you're making your father a little apprehensive here, since I can't go to California and rescue you real quick. So, but I got to thinking about it. I said, man, it's so weird because something new. There was a person that sent us an email saying that they had heard about the app and were wanting to get it down on their phone, and they heard on it through the radio, through the outro, or whatever I said in the deal, heard about it, and we're trying to find it, get it down, but they couldn't figure it out, so they emailed us, and then we sent it to them, and they said, oh, thank you, we got it down there. We're doing it. What? I mean, I've been preaching for 24 years. I've delivered hundreds and hundreds of messages, and none have been more effective right now than what's going on right now. I mean, I've got people sending us stuff from all the way up from Montana down here. I'm like, what? What? Because the crazy combiner went up there cutting stuff, and as he went up, he passed out stuff everywhere. And it's just profit. It's just building the little leaven. See, here you go. The little leaven is leaven the whole lump. And what we're in right now is this time that the things that you have sowed in people and the words you've spoken and the kindness you showed, you're going to see it. You're going to see it rise. Now, oh, this is good. I wish I'd have got more of this when I read this on the internet. What do you call it when the dough starts to rise and you mold it or you shape it? Pairing? No. It's like it was a deal. It was talking about when it's rising up. Thank you, ma'am. Give the ushers, give the lady an extra tip tonight. Proofing. Proofing? Like, they were talking about, like, if you're, like, I guess if baker's baking fancy-looking somethings or whatever, when it, as it starts to rise, you mold it, and it's called proofing. So, see, as, this is good. So, as the leaven that you've sown in people's lives starts to rise, then that's when we got to have what Lex is doing in Sunday school, so we've got the knowledge to come in there and help them and mold it by the Spirit of God, proofing so that it can come out to this nice little pretty loaf. Is that how they do it when they, like you got bread and it's got a deal down the center or something? Or is that proofing? Is that what they do with it? Maybe you're sure it's not poofing? My bread's poofing over there. That's what I'd say, you know. No, it's proofing because I didn't. So anyway, the point is, that's what God's trying to do. So why do we need the knowledge? Because he's going to use us to help mold what the leaven has risen. The leaven being the Word of God. So don't be surprised when things that you've sown and, you know, things that you've spoken and things that you've done, all of a sudden something starts to move and something starts to happen. Don't be surprised about it because the leaven is rising. And it's bringing about the thing of God because you're that tree. It's got those branches. Where all those branches that are there that the birds can come and sit on. And you're going to see some marvelous things. And I, you know, the first thing I ever learned that I'm having to relearn is that the first thing I learned when I was in Bible school and they were talking about, took some counseling courses and stuff, and they said the first thing you got to learn about counseling is you never say, you did what? I said, never say that. That's the thing. You just don't say that. Don't say that. And I think that we have to be the same way. As the leaven starts to rise, we can't sit there and say, really? You? Right? Because they all said that about you when you got saved. Certainly said it about me. So I want you to be encouraged tonight and have hope. Because God is doing something with this leaven that's been sowed. And it's rising to the top. And we're going to have some proofing going on and some molding and some things that are going to happen. I mean, I'm excited. It's going to be good. Amen?
Amen.
Glory. All that you've sown, praise God. Well, Bill, help me. Let's take a prayer offering tonight. Put your hand in our offering envelope. Father, tonight I just thank you that, Lord, we're blessers. We're givers. It's the greatest thing that we can do, Lord, is give. You've given so much unto us, and, Lord, we just want to give to just rescue the world and see all kinds of amazing things happen. And so, Lord, I praise you for that. I thank you for blessing everything they do. You said everything we put our hands to would prosper. And, Lord, I praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, praise God. Stand to your feet. I can't think of what I was going to say now. So, Lord, as we go out tonight, I just declare that we're going to go out with our hearts open. We're going to go out, Lord, just desiring to sow your word everywhere. And whether it's a smile, a cookies, a prayer, or whatever it may be, Lord God, that you use, I just thank you that leaven in rising in people's hearts. And that this is the day of salvation for many, Lord. Many are going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and they're going to fill the house of God. They're going to find you, Lord God. They're going to have hungry hearts. So, Lord, I praise you for it, and I thank you for it. Lord, bless us, Lord. Give us divine appointments. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.